The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS. Brought to you by By Nature Pet Foods, slow cooked with Super Fusion, home of the Soft Shit Award. Get 20% off your first order at Chewy or Amazon with the code 20RTRS. LL Pavorsky Jewelers, so Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners, go and get engaged. And Kinetic Skateboarding, get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, Mike is wearing a robe and sunglasses. Ben Simmons has cleared all health and safety protocols, but was held out of the Pistons game for, quote, reconditioning. Ramona Shelbourne, or if it's Australian, is it Ramona Shelbin, writes another article about the holdout. This one somehow with even worse information than the ones that preceded it. The Sixers actually start the fucking season on Wednesday in New Orleans, and they finished up the preseason as well. And a Ricky beer. We will talk about that later. A Ricky one beer. Oh, and in the mailbag, one of the most annoying emails I've ever read that has come into our email box. Before we get going, the t-shirt reprint, which is six old Ricky shirts, will start on Wednesday. It'll be a pre-sale. If you want first access, make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Zoe's Corner 3 newsletter, at rightsrickysanchez.com/newsletter. Without any further ado, the war on drugs.
Creature void of form, been so afraid of everything. I need a chance to be reborn.
That is I Don't Live Here Anymore, out on October 29th from the War on Drugs, from the album I Don't Live Here Anymore. We will be using that as opening music until the album comes out. Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy. I'm throwing away my along with a guy to go to a new along with a guy who looks like he is ready to walk the red carpet to the premiere of his own debut feature-length film that Mike Weber wrote a movie about the making of. That is Mike Levitt.
Wow. I would be smoking a cigarette if I smoked cigarettes right
now.
Oh,
yeah.
That's just the off season it's been. And so I'm the manifestation of what the Sixers off season has been. And sometimes you just need to stop caring for yourself entirely and show up on live YouTube with a robe.
Okay. We'll get into the robe, I guess, later. The Apple Podcast 5-star review of the pod. We are at 2,930 5-star ratings. When we get to 3,000, I will read numbers 2,000 through 3,000 on a pod Mike will never listen to. There's two things I love about this review. It comes from Dylan. The subject line is weird dad hobbies. Hey, Skip and Mike, huge fan of the pod. Been listening to the Ricky for a few years now. Okay. His basketball question we'll get to, but his non-basketball question for Mike, and of course Skip, for the person who's been listening to the podcast for years, is Skippy. Mr. Skip Sanchez, if you could pick one weird dad hobby, for example, welding, model trains, metal detecting, those kinds of things, what would it be? I feel like Mike strikes me as the stamp collector dad, while Spike would buy, sell storage units like in the TV show Storage Wars. If you could have one sort of dad hobby, what would that be?
I don't have many.
But if you
getting angry about sports is a real pastime.
Right.
So that might be it, but it's a little obvious. I'm bad at most things. I've become a lawn guy, so mowing. But
motherfucker, I was gonna say I want to be a real lawn guy. My neighbor Kevin is just a fucking excellent lawn guy. He was showing me earlier how he's protecting his sprinkler system for the winter, and he's like, and I have these little bags that go over it. And I was so jealous that he knew to even do that. I'm just over here like some dumb fuck, like, that thought it was raining for 4 weeks before he knew he had a sprinkler system. Meanwhile, this guy's got covers for his sprinklers.
Yeah, that happens. All right, Skip, get out of here. Neighbor Kevin, you're in.
You're in. So why don't we start with Sixers versus Ben Simmons, day 1000 in the hostage war crisis. Simmons reported was cleared to play versus the Pistons, but was listed out due to reconditioning. Will probably be the first of many reasons we see that he's out. Doc Rivers says
they're going to get very creative with those parentheticals for sure.
I hope they get funny about it. Something tells me they won't, but maybe we'll find it funny at least. Doc Rivers sort of says that he expects Simmons at practice on Sunday. One thing we didn't get to in the last pod was that Danny Green quote that was, we don't expect him to shoot jump shots or anything. Mm-hmm. If he apologizes, cool. I think was sort of the t-shirt they would all wear if they wore a group t-shirt about it. And then the Ramona Shelbourne piece that was on ESPN, which had certain nuggets, such as, and we had heard this before as like a leak from Clutch to a writer, but never specifically that Simmons told the Sixers this, that in their meeting in August, he told the Sixers that he didn't get a chance to like fail like other first round picks do. And he wanted a fresh start so he could feel more comfortable failing.
And that was in the Newbeck piece a few weeks back.
But was it in that Ben said that, or was it in it that his camp felt that?
I think camp felt that. This also says the same thing, a source close to, et cetera, type of thing.
Yeah. Right. But it says that he said it. I don't know. Whatever difference. So
it's all the same shit.
I think without making fun of this, this is sort of like a window into something that we've talked about a long time for Ben, is his resistance to appearing as if he can't do something. And I think like the entire Shelbourne piece, and this is not the first time that it's happened, but it just like it outlined other things, talked I think a lot about his resistance to appearing in public as if he can't do something. There was another quote. There were quotes about the trade, you know, the Harden trade, but the other stuff I thought was interesting. The scrutiny from NBA scouts began as soon as Simmons arrived in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He'd come to LSU as the consensus number one prospect in his draft class and was determined to make good on his promise. There are a lot of ways to react to such a rating. Some draw confidence and grow their games. Others get overconfident. Simmons just didn't want to screw it up. I think he just didn't want to give anyone a reason not to pick him number one, says a Simmons confidant. A prominent scout who had watched Simmons warm up before a game at Barclays Center in Brooklyn said it wasn't aggressiveness Simmons lacked, it was confidence. I showed up 2-3 hours early to watch him warm up, the scout said. I'd been critical of him, so he definitely knew who I was. And as soon as he saw me up there, he went back into the locker room. This was a common refrain from NBA scouts who'd watched Simmons at LSU. An NBA general manager who scouted him in college said he went to practice to see Simmons and never saw him work on a shot. They were camouflaging him, another league source said. And then the final sort of piece in this, and people were reacting to one end of this piece, but I thought about it a little bit differently, was that teammates thought, so there was a thing before game 7 where there was a masseuse that had an inconclusive COVID test. And
did we know this?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
So
the honest answer is I don't remember.
I don't remember.
There's it been seems too many like things that happened, and yeah. A real catastrophic event happened that night. So everything else was blacked out.
So there was a masseuse that had an inconclusive COVID test. They asked all the players, "Were you around this person?" Ben was the only person that said no. Apparently, the other players had never
said yes.
Said yes, rather. The only player that said yes. Apparently, the other players had not seen her there. And players suspected that, not all players, but some players suspected that he said that as a way to not have to play in game 7. Whether Simmons did that or not, I think is obviously a thing, but is less of a thing than his teammates thinking that he did it. And the teammates thinking that he did it, I think, provide like a bit of a window into this fracture happening before it like happened after the season went, you know, like their view of him, not in a mean way, but sort of in a like he was falling apart, and that we had seen before game 7, and that they even thought that he was capable of that, I think is something to behold. I don't know what you can take from this article other than what we were saying in the last pod is that the idea of him playing in a game with these Sixers in Philadelphia seems impossible. And if it does, I can't wait to see it, I guess, but it just seems impossible to me. That's the biggest thing I took from this.
Yeah, I mean, I say this every podcast, but like I continue to get my ass kicked as a writer by reality of what's
right
happening. Just absolutely thrown across the room by like, hey, some of his teammates thought he was lying about a COVID exposure. Like I didn't have that. I didn't pitch that and I lost again.
To the brilliant writer, that the hotshot young writer that showed up in the room that keeps coming with these amazing ideas.
Assholes.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's still happening. It's very bizarre. So let's take it one piece at a time. We've talked about it before, the idea that like, yes, he stepped into a situation as a rookie after a redshirt injury year. Where they were immediately good. And for the last month of the season, when Embiid broke his face on Markelle Fultz's shoulder, they didn't lose. And so were immediately good. And he came into the playoffs as like a 3 seed or a 4 seed against Miami.
Can I just mention or just point out, or at least they weren't expected to be as good as they were.
No.
I think their over under that year was like 38 or something like that.
It happened quick. And then winning those last 16 games of the season certainly accelerated it.
Yeah.
And Ben looked good. And he was the number one guy on a playoff team that had home court advantage until Joel got back. And even then, Joel's not 100% with the mask on and everything. So that's like true. Like most first overall picks step into that. But that, to me, it's not like you're looking at Ben all the time throughout his career and going like, that's a guy that really wants to fail. That's a guy that really wants to be able to be allowed to fail. Mm-hmm. And like, it again just seems like a justification that they're pulling out of their ass to use to say this is actually why he wants to be traded. And it could be a bunch of things. Like I feel like it's a culmination of things, and maybe he just like shut off and was just like, I'm done. And the people around him are just like, we got to come up with something. Maybe it's because he wasn't allowed to be bad, like most first overall picks are allowed to be bad. But like that's not his, at least public and on court personality. He's not all the time trying stuff and has failed and then gets like quickly benched for doing so. Like that's not remotely what it is. He is prevented from doing that by himself. Brett had to like beg the media for like 1-3 a game, and Brett like
called out his handlers, called out his agent, his family. Yeah,
all the time. They're asking him to do it. They're saying, we don't care if they go in. Like everyone's saying it. It's not. This is a lie. Like it's a lie. It might be true. Like it is true that first overall picks aren't generally thrown into immediate contention.
Some are, but most aren't.
Yeah, I can't think of any first overall picks that had as big of a role in a semi contender than Simmons the bat.
Duncan is the one that Tim Duncan.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. But that's, you know, 20 years ago, and it's a rare case. I agree with you.
That's fair.
I think like I know given my history, this will come off as disparaging, and I'm not trying to, but it is a little bit like the Fultz thing in that like all of us, he just maybe wasn't prepared, and it's hard to be prepared as a 20-year-old for going from being hot shit in Australia to the number one prospect in college basketball and the attention that comes on that. And if
he played high school ball in America for
a bunch of years. But the eyes on him is really hard. And if his general inclination is to not want to appear as if he's, you know, failing, like then this will only make it worse. And like, I mean, just as a general rule, if you don't want to do that, like if that is a problem that you have, improving in professional sports is going to be like almost fucking like impossible, you know? So, and it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And I agree with you. All of these things are reasons more, they're presented as like excuses. I think they're all true, but they seem to paint like there's very little from him or his camp, the concession that like this is about me, you know, it's not about you. And it feels like it's about everybody else. You know, it feels like it's about the fans or the fucking team or Embiid or the coach or everybody but like Ben. So
yeah. And again, I've said this before, like he's very good at a lot of things. And he has abdicated the idea that he would even try some other things. And in a very important series, which was the first playoff series that he played in since the or the second, I guess, after the Wizards, since the Kawhi shot, which was a good thing, but also with the weird Jimmy. Like, there's just been weirdness the whole time. It hasn't been like Ben and Joel, the two of them, going into playoff basketball, mm-hmm. like five straight years. Like, it's been an inconsistent and there has not been a lot of continuity there. But he goes into it, and he has a really bad series, like, objectively. His defense on Trey was spotty. It wasn't the best. He certainly didn't shut him down. And they won because of how good Trey Young was at creating shots for himself and his teammates. And that the Sixers couldn't score themselves on a pretty weak Hawks defense.
And by the way, what a comparison, like what a and B for Trey Young, who is like not as good a shooter as he thinks he is. It's just the idea of being resistant to failing publicly. Like the Ben Simmons versus Trey Young is just like there's a difference there.
Yeah, different players. The thing that bumps me, like I'm criticizing Ben and the people around and the people that are leaking to reporters around him and stuff, but also like I struggle to like get on board or do it myself is like trying to like get in his head and criticize like the mental state of this guy who hasn't spoken about it publicly, you know, like he really has not done it. And on the Low Post, Zach said, like, what if he just went out and had this like best press conference of all time where he says like all these things and he takes ownership and all that stuff. I don't know. That hasn't happened. There's no indication of that happening. But like the idea of like why Ben doesn't shoot or why he's like this, why he told his play, we just don't know. And I think the speculation of like he's mentally frail or weak or anything like that just bugs me. It rubs me the wrong way. So I don't know what it is about him that has caused him to not shoot or not done it in any way at all.
But we do, right?
He's done it, but the answer certainly isn't like everyone was telling him not to try, because everyone was telling him just do it, just try, and it's fine if you miss. It's the regular season or it's the preseason or whatever it is.
DraftKings has given us a Ben Simmons special in DraftKings, the presenting sponsor of the Ricky. Will Ben Simmons convert his first free throw attempt of the regular season? It is +125 at no, -145 at yes. You just open up the DraftKings Sportsbook app, go to NBA, and scroll over to NBA specials. They are also the official sports betting partner of the NFL, also the Ricky. Thank you, Ethan, for that cobbled together logo. New customers can bet $1 on that truck driving by my office. New customers can bet $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was 1943. So if DraftKings Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings is still available for the fantasy app. Everyone can play in daily fantasy sports contests. Everyone, all 50 states. And new customers there get a free shot at millions of bucks total prizes with their first deposit in the DraftKings Fantasy as well. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code RTRS, throw $1 down on any NFL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code RTRS at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL and the rights to Ricky Sanchez. Got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or PA only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Your point about like his mental weakness, I think it's a word choice. I think it's pretty obvious why he doesn't shoot, and that his sort of bluster in public about people who have questioned him, whether it is press or other players or fans, and his like sort of like, I don't need to do that, is like a self-defense mechanism, you know, like
sure.
everything's fine. So honestly, man, I hope he gets traded and I will be fine. I will not be tortured if he fucking figures it out somewhere else. I just won't. Like, I hope he figures it out somewhere else. This, from afar, from our vantage point, not only is this like annoying as a fan, and I'm sure frustrating as an organization, like it fucking must be torturous for him. And like, it's not like a sympathy thing. I just want it to be fucking over for everyone, including him. Let him fucking fail in Houston invisibly or Minnesota. Unfortunately, if he goes to like Golden State or something or Minnesota, there's not going to be as many eyes, but there are going to be eyes on you. There are expectations there. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he needs or whatever. I mean, after like just pivoting to the COVID thing, like after, you know, months of people around Simmons leaking bad shit about the team or whatever. Finally, like some teammates are like, well, we're going to fucking say something. I thought that he was lying. It's just like, it's not good. Yeah. It's not a good situation. I like that it's topical and that's fun to sort of wrap it up into a neat little pandemic bow. But
from a writing standpoint,
I think that's helpful. Yeah. Just like as a consumer of content. It is really hard to imagine, like, you know, there's one thing when like teammates don't always like each other, you know, teammates don't get along, they don't hang out, whatever it is. It's not always the case. I was saying that for Ben and Joel for a long time. It's not a big deal that they're not like best friends. And then over the past year, they became closer, obviously. But like when there's this amount of distrust in teammates saying like, hey, I thought that you were over that series. I thought this guy was melting down to the point that he was lying about exposure to a deadly virus
before the seventh game of a series
that he has played poorly in and right. seemingly like was not, you know, in a great spot emotionally or whatever they would say. That's like tough. That needs to be rectified. That can't just be a guy coming in and being like, all right, I got next. Like, I'll pick up Korkmaz in this like half court run. Like, what are we doing? Like, there, it's not just going to blend in seamlessly. So again, like I never know because I'm not a journalist, because I'm not, even though like I occasionally talk to people, like I'm not breaking stories or I don't know like how these things work. And I don't really know what people's motivations are to talk, when they talk, to who, whatever. Like, I come at it from that lens of being like, I don't know who said this or why, or was there a motivation? Did it have to come from the players, or is it someone that the players told as another team or agent that's like, this is the rumor? I don't know. It's weird. It's all fucking weird. I'm tired of trying to figure it out. It's very hard to imagine him playing a game for the Sixers or showing up to practice even. Maybe he shows up. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. If like, if we're saying, and I'm hesitant to do so again, but if we are saying like Ben is a guy that hates scrutiny and avoids confrontation and all this stuff, like showing up to practice with these guys that you've like, it, I agree with Embiid, like disrespected, like you have. I think this is disrespectful that you were on a contract for 4 years. They've been texting you. They want to come out to LA and like convince you to stay there. I think there's also like, there's some, it's not an entirely evil thing to do to be like, hey, my mind's really made up. Like, don't waste your time to come here. Like, there's a reading of it that way, but they've been trying to reach out and like bridge the gap of whatever it is between the team and the players and Simmons. And if he's this guy that is so avoidance based, then like him showing up to practice feels like not something that he would do. I really don't know. It's
it would take a different to mend this. It would take the kind of a person and the kind of like that he does not appear to be right now in his life. And they don't understandably, you were asking about motivation. Sometimes, a lot of times when you get, there are articles like that, there are motivations behind it. Sometimes the motivation could be, as you pointed to yourself out, like the players just being like, fuck this guy. You know what I mean? Like just wanting to say something, you know, that like they are tired of being on the opposite end of it and playing the good cop. So just awful. I can't even imagine. I mean, there's 5 days, how many days? 5 days until the first game. I cannot imagine him playing in that game. If he could play in any game, it would be some fucking road game. But what, like, I'm continually at the spot where I think there's as much chance as something bad happening and it hurting trade value if he plays in a game, you know, like where he melts down or he fucking won't pass it to somebody or they won't pass it to him as something good happening, you know? So
I have no idea. I mean, like, do you think he shows up to practice tomorrow? I think if he shows up, it would be like him on a bike, like
yes,
across
over
the gym.
On the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
I don't blame him for like being like, all right, well, if you're not going to pay me, I'm going to show up and try to whatever. Like, I don't blame him doing things for money, but like, I do blame him for how he's handled it. Like money being a motivation is not that's not an issue for me. Like, that's what everyone does. This is what we're all working for so we can pay for stuff and be valued for our time. But to like hang his teammates out to dry like that, I think it has been bad. That's bad.
There's a Ricky Beer. This has been in the works for months and months and months.
Yeah.
So as an honor, you can see if you're watching on YouTube, the light is a little, CJ, I don't know how to do this to make it look good, but it's called One Beer. And our friend Abby drew Zach Lowe drinking the One Beer on the One Beer. It is a double IPA from Four Fingers Brewery in Aston, PA, Delco. It will only be available at Four Fingers Brewery.
Let's do a little context because it started from us, right? We started talking about this.
Well, he used to say on his podcast, on his podcast at the end of free agency or whatever, he would like settle in and he would have like one beer.
Well, like he's not trying. He was never making it a joke.
He was just saying it.
He was being like, I just can't wait for this to end. So I got my beer in the fridge. I got my beer is ready to go. I'm going to crack a beer as soon as it is over. And he said it so much that it was just like, and it was always just one, like a single one. And the idea that like he couldn't have it, like he was being bad and it was like being a little dangerous actually by like having that beer. And a little bit bragging about it, like I'm gonna have it, and everyone's jealous of my one. I love Zach. I think he's great, and he's a friend of ours.
Yeah.
But I definitely found that something to make fun of. And now here he has owned it. He has taken it back. He is Mr. One Beer himself, and I respect that as well. And I'm glad that there is a beer commemorating that for Zach and for everyone that had, you know, a tough trade deadline or a tough free agency or a tough draft and just wants to settle down and put your feet up and have a single can of beer.
So when I was talking to Jack about this, I was Jack Fritz, whose dad owns the Four Fingers Brewing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Jack's dad. They started it, I think, like right before the pandemic. So,
wow.
So it's Jack's dad. So when I was talking to him, I was like, well, it's got to be a double IPA. Because then that way you can get something out of one beer. So I think it's 8.2% alcohol. Will only be available at Four Fingers Brewery. Great can. Also, it should be noted, we did not ask Zach. We just did this and told him by sending him the beer. So thank you, Zach, for being a good sport, who I think thinks that we're making fun of him more than we actually are. It is truly with love that we do this. So
lovingly making fun of him. That's right.
Yes. We love you, Zach. So,
and you are legally, at least the Ricky bylaws, only allowed to have one at a time. If you have two, that's a violation.
So you can get them now at Four Fingers. Also after Bark in the Park, which is Saturday, at Rose Tree Park to raise money for Providence Animal Center. I will go to I'll go to Four Fingers and I'll be there at 1 o'clock and you can come pick up the one beer. Here it is, the one beer. I was going to ask you if you can do the pot at one next Saturday. So 10 o'clock Pacific Coast time. So possibly. If you can't, we'll figure something else out. But I'll be at Four Fingers at 1 o'clock after Bark in the Park, and they're going to donate a portion of the money on that Saturday to Providence Animal Center. So thank you. So thanks, Zach. Thanks, Four Fingers Brewery. Thanks, Abby, for the amazing art of him drinking the beer on the beer. Like, you know, anyway. It's time for the Soft Shit Award, which is brought to you by By Nature Pet Foods. Gives Mike a minute to think about who's going to get the Soft Shit Award. Just sit on this for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Mike is in a place. Now, you wouldn't have heard this if you're just listening to the podcast, but Mike is dog sitting for John and Colleen, and one of the dogs had diarrhea all over the place.
No, he didn't. Not in the house.
Oh, outside. Okay.
Yeah, he was just waking up at like 5:30, just kind of like running around a lot, and I was like, I think something's up, and so I took him out, and he just dropped a wet load. Tough to clean up. Tough to grab that with the little green baggie.
Which is why you want to give your dog or cat By Nature Pet Food. See, the reason the Soft Shit Award is there, and the reason that occasionally dogs, not always, but occasionally dogs or cats have soft shit, is because they are not eating the right food. And By Nature is. It's more healthy. It's better for them. So we're going to get rid of that soft shit. How is it better? Better ingredients. Notice the first ingredient is always the protein. So it's premium proteins. Probiotics like apple cider vinegar, spinach, and the way that they cook it is they slow cook it, becomes more nutrient rich, so it's more healthy for your dog or your cat. The company that owns By Nature, family owned, family operated, been around 40 years, never had a recall, which is very, very rare in pet food. Go to Amazon.com or Chewy.com, use the code 20RTRS, and you'll get 20% off your first By Nature purchase. It's good for your animal. Avoiding those difficult situations with the green bag and the grass. So again, that is 20 RTRS at Chewy or Amazon for 20% off your first By Nature order. Now Mike presents the Soft Shit Award for this.
So week. I thought about giving it to Dasher for having legitimately soft shit this morning. Mm-hmm. Then I thought about giving it to John Gonzalez for not feeding his dogs By Nature pet food. But something that has upset me and will upset me for the rest of my life is the fourth quarter taunting call against Jannard Avery in the Eagles Bucks game. And I'm giving it to either that ref or the league office or the rules committee, whatever it is, whoever wants to be responsible for this, you were awarded the soft shit award, because that is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Just the generally, like, these people that decide, like, be as violent as possible all the time, be hyped up on defense. You're going to war. This is your family. People are going to die if you don't make this tackle. This is your livelihood. Everyone's depending on you. But as soon as they blow the whistle, you must doff your cap like a gentleman and wear a suit and tie and walk calmly back to your position and make no reaction whatsoever. It's such bullshit. It's such a fundamental misunderstanding of everything. It's the same fucking stupid rules bullshit of people that call flagrant fouls in the NBA and think like that'll deter it. Like it's a 15-yard penalty, which is like most of the field. 15-yard. If it was a 5-yard penalty, fine. I get it. 5-yard, it happens. But for it to be a 15-yard penalty, especially at that point in the game, is just a fucking joke. Fuck the Eagles. I don't care. They're not good. They didn't deserve to win the game. Whatever it is. But like that, the logic of that play pissed me off so much. I had to call my dad. I woke my dad up and just started like Alyssa was doing a podcast at the time. So I'm just whisper screaming what I'm saying to him now. It's a real embarrassment. And like, it's fucking sports. Like it's fucking sports, guys. Like we just don't have to, we're not getting this out of the game. It's such bullshit. And the fact that it's an embarrassment. it made me like honestly consider turning the game off and never watching football again. Like it's as good a reason as any to never watch sports again ever. It's unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sports Talk Mike just fucking flying off the handle.
It's awful. What are we doing? What is the logic? We don't have to do this. We can decide not to. The rules are made up. Laws are fake. We can decide that they could be better. And they decided it should be this. What absolute losers. What a joke. I'm replacing Angelo.
Okay, before we get to the preseason finale, the 538 prediction about the Sixers, the YouTube comment of the week, the email that angered me, talking about El Alpavorsi, before we get to all that, I just need, is there reasoning behind your mirrored sunglasses, your robe, you being, I know why you're awake. You're awake because of the poop. Is it just a vibe thing because of what we're going through?
It's just a vibe of what we're going
through. Okay, it's just a vibe.
No, there's no big secret that I'm holding back. Okay. As I got out of the shower to wash the scent of dog shit off of my person, I saw the robe and I was like, I can wear that. And then I was about to put my glasses on. I was like, what if I wore sunglasses? That would cap it off.
Yeah,
and
it's great. We are.
It just feels like it's been a fucking, I need a vacation for my vacation, like that kind of thing. And we're here and we're doing it. And what hellish nightmares await.
Boy, this is a reason, if you just listen, occasionally we give you reason to watch on YouTube. So this is one of them. So a quick, you know, I don't think we need to do a super deep dive into the Pistons game. I think the thing, Maxey looked good. Mm-hmm. He still looks like I think he's probably going to shoot like 31.5% from three this year, which is fine. But like he looks like it's a little far for him. That was one thing I took. He looked good, but it does look like the shot's a little far from him. And fucking Isaiah Joe just launching. Love that. Andre Drummond does not know that he's the backup. There obviously there wasn't a Philly feed of it, but I was listening to the Detroit play-by-play guy just talking about how much Doc Rivers loves Andre Drummond. Right. And I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
So he does have a weirdly good touch. Like when he gets bumped and like floats it up there, like it's very bizarre. Andre, it's going to be a ride all season. He's not like Dwight at this point in his career, just doesn't have any fundamental skills outside of rebounding and dunking. It's just that. There's nothing else. Had he done that and not also committed really stupid fouls, I think it would have been fine at horribly inopportune moments. Drummond is going to, and I've said this before, is going to have more skills. Like you can put him in the post and he can like, he punished Kelly Olynyk. Like it's going to, obviously Olynyk stepped out and hit threes in his face on the other end. So it's like, it's a wash, but he's going to like make some things happen. And he had a really nice backdoor pass to Korkmaz that he finished for a dunk. But then, and I'm interested to see when he's getting like, I don't know, 16 minutes a game. Is he going to be trying to do this much? He's just trying to do so much all the time. Mm-hmm. He is a good passer for a big man, but he's not Marc Gasol. He's not Nikola Jokic, and he really thinks that he is. And so he's always trying to like whip these passes to whoever. And like sometimes it's like, oh, that's a nice pass. You got that. But a lot of times it's not. He tried to like run the break. And there's like guards around him. And I'm like, just pass, just give it up. You can get it back. But it seems like he's been on bad teams for so long that he can, whereas Dwight like got to the point in his career where he like was like, okay, I'm cutting everything out of my game, but I'm also going to still do dumb elbow shit and get called for various flagrants all the time. That's going to happen. But I'm not going to do any other like ball handling or stuff. And Drummond is not there yet, but he's better. He's definitely better. But it's like, are the mistakes that he makes worth the things he is better at? And that remains to be seen.
He's more skilled That, and remember, it wasn't like Dwight just came to that realization. I don't know if you remember this, but when he signed with the Lakers, like everybody on the Lakers, from like LeBron to Rondo, like they all had to like have their little meeting with Dwight and go,
you promise?
Know, yeah. Like no bullshit from you. Like no, and there's nobody on the Sixers that carries that kind of cachet. And if you're Drummond, the worry for us as fans is not only Doc, but if you're Drummond, instead of seeing this as an opportunity to extend your career by like 7 years by becoming a backup, if he sees this as an opportunity to prove to everyone he's still Andre Drummond.
For sure.
Yeah. And the other person who does
that. I think Tobias could have that conversation with him. I think Tobias carries that weight around there. And Doc, I think if Doc doesn't like love when guys fuck up, although he tolerated Dwight for way too long. I said this before, like he's not skilled at moving his feet on the perimeter, but he will get his hands on more balls than Dwight did. Like, he will like intercept some passes and anticipate and those kinds of things. Like there's length and an anticipation that Dwight didn't have anymore. So
I think he's gonna suck, but that's just my
probably it. Yeah, but he'll suck with, like, especially when Embiid sits, like he'll suck with stats in a way that will be even more frustrating in some sense.
Yeah. Well, because if people are going to tell me, it's like imagine being the guy that didn't want to, you know, sign Andre Drummond as he gets, you know, 24 points in a Tuesday night loss to fucking Minnesota or something. The other guy who doesn't quite know his limitations, and they did say they were going to do more of this, but I actually don't think they should, is Niang.
I disagree. I love George Niang, man. I love him. I love how willing he is to shoot. He's easily the most willing shooter we have from three. Him and, I guess, Isaiah Joe, but because Niang can get it off from a higher release point, it's good. I really like his defense. He gets his hands up. He's obviously very slow, but he's thick and he anticipates really well and he gets his hands on balls on drivers. It's really, I'm impressed. And he has some creation to him. He really does. He did it at Iowa State. He was told to stand in the corner at Utah and became a really good shooter. He wasn't that good of a shooter in college, and he became a legitimately great NBA shooter. But if this is the like team, say they trade Ben for just picks or never or whatever it is, I could see Niang starting some games depending on the matchup.
Yeah, I think he wouldn't be a bad starter with Embiid. The Tobias thing, I think, obviously for makes sure. it more complicated. But for sure. And the other two things that I had was, I know you won't be ready for this until the end of the season, but like Jaden Springer is not playing any meaningful minutes.
No, he's not. Yeah. He's not. Yeah. He's definitely not. He looks really, really tentative.
Yeah.
And like slow and not good with the ball and not sure when he should rise up to shoot.
He should play in the G League all year.
Absolutely. He just needs reps. Like, he just needs like a ton of reps. He's one of the youngest players in the draft. I really believe in the defense. I believe in the passing. He had a nice little alley-oop to I think it was Drummond. And he's strong and physical and he's going to have a really good body as he continues to fill out. But the jumper needs to, like, a ton of reps. He needs to be working on his handle, like all that stuff. A long way to go. Like, which a little surprising that they took him. I think he's going to be a great player. But has a long way to go, and maybe this will become like the, if he dominates the G League type of thing, then that could be part of a, you know, look at how far he's grown into a trade package or something like that. Speaking of the G League, I don't think we've talked about this enough. B-Ball Paul was the MVP of the G League. He was the most valuable player of the G League, and he's not like, he's obviously
the G League bubble or whatever. It wasn't like a full G League. It was like it was an abbreviated G League.
Nobody else was the MVP of the G League bubble. It was B-Ball Paul. So
here's my B-Ball Paul, love him. Fun. I don't think he can really do anything good.
I disagree. Like, look, he is, I will not sit here and say that he can be like a plug and play normal player into an offense that is just like settle down, do this stuff. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that he will contribute to winning basketball games. He will, like, in whatever weird way he does, you'll look at the score at the end of the game and they will win because B-Ball, they survived B-Ball Paul minutes. And sometimes that's going to be like a weird, like flailing, like drive where he shoots it like a floater from like 8 feet going the opposite way. But like he'll get the rebound and like put it back, or like he'll get fouled or something. Like he just makes stuff happen on both ends. And in a way that like I'm straight up like begging Doc to play him sometimes. I am absolutely begging. He'll obviously get, and I actually really liked what I saw from Charles Bassey last night. Stepped out, hit a corner three, looked very confident shooting it, and blocked a couple shots. He's going to be in the G League for most of the year, but I have high hopes for Charles Bassey, especially now they got that decent contract for him for a second round pick. But like when Embiid's out, he's going to be Drummond's backup. And I need to consistently see that. And I need to show occasional options where he could eventually play given the right matchup. Like we obviously Daryl said this last year that the team at the beginning of the season is not necessarily going to be the team going into the playoffs. There's a trade deadline, et cetera, et cetera. But that is what the team was last year, Daryl. That is exactly basically almost entirely what the team was, except for a somewhat diseased George Hill. And B-ball Paul, if this is going to be the team, B-ball Paul is your option for your other option for backup five. And I need to see it. I need to see it in the regular season. I need to sit Doc down. I need to see it. He is too good in a weird way. It's weird. It's uncomfortable. Guys might not like it, but like he just makes stuff happen. And he was good in the G League. He produced. Like it's not like he's some random guy. I'm not saying Jaden Springer needs to play where he's like clearly not ready. Like B-ball Paul has produced at a high level, and he can play 12. He can play 9 backup minutes a game in the playoffs in the right matchup if need be. And we need to be able to do that.
So before we get to like,
and I'll just agree. You said Isaiah Joe and Maxey. Isaiah Joe has to play. He's great. He's so good. He's playing his ass off. Working his ass off on defense, shooting off movement, getting shots up quickly, always like has a knack for getting fouled on threes. Like he's great. He's too good. We're past it. We're past it. He has to play.
Yep.
Bench someone. Bench Embiid for Isaiah Joe. I don't care. He has to play. And Maxey, I mean, he's not getting those foul calls yet when he drives to the rim. He should be. But like, holy shit, he's quick. He's quick.
He's very quick.
So fast. I think AU pointed out on Twitter, like there was an end of shot clock or end of quarter moment when it looked like he was going to have to like, okay, now take the three because it's like there's 2 seconds left in the quarter, and all of a sudden just bursts to the rim and he finishes with a layup. Like it's unbelievable finishing and just getting in there. He's great. He's a delight to watch, and I hope he starts getting those foul calls. I hope he starts learning. Some of it is the refs just like giving him those calls, and some of it is learning how to do it.
I got a text from Lee Pavorsky. Hold on, let me find it. Sponsor of the Ricky, original sponsor, LL Pavorsky Jewelers. Thursday at 7:40 p.m., we had a 3 RTRS engagement ring day today.
Wow.
Second time that's happened in 5 years. We're up to 241. Awesome people. One couple from Maryland who are going to the Eagles game tonight. So amazing. LL Pavorsky Jewelers, the original sponsor of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast and the seller of one, just like Zach Lowe drinks one beer, Mike bought one engagement ring from LL Pavorsky.
Could have bought multiple.
Like you could have. You're right. We only need one jeweler. Like you just need one beer. And that is LL Pavorsky. Of course, engagement rings. But of course, then you have a jeweler. You got a guy. You need a guy for everything or a person. And LL Pavorsky is your jeweler for the rest of your life, for the rest of his life, for the rest of your life. If you need an engagement ring.
We're holding him hostage.
Holding him hostage. Over 30 years, 32 years, I think, is how long he has been at 707 Walnut in Philly. Make an appointment with him. You can just stop in the store if you'd like. But if you're going to buy an engagement ring, he suggests you reach out first. That way he can have things ready for you. Lee at llpavorsky.com. Tweeted him at llpavorsky. You can call the shop 215-627-2252. Supports our charities, Providence Animal Center and Coded by Kids. LL Pavorsky Jewelers.
The MVP of the jeweler bubble.
MVP. Oh, right. Wow. You got to get back into practice. That was
Look, I've done fucking hundreds of LL taglines. We're scraping the barrel.
That's a good point. A good point. The YouTube comment of the week brought to you by Kinetic Skateboarding. Get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. How about these? They always have shoes at Kinetic that you don't see anywhere else. The New Balance Numeric 272 Margie Dido. Is that a skateboarder? Margie Dido. Amazing looking shoe. But like I'm telling you, go to Kinetic. If you want to show up at work or school with stuff that nobody else has seen anywhere else, go to kineticskateboarding.com. Code Dave Silver for 9.1% off your first order. Before we get the actual comment of the week, this is the one I like best. Came from Kimberly Patterson. OMG, exactly what I needed. Click link. The new videos, sex. So I appreciated that YouTube comment.
Kimberly's going to love the robe then.
Yep. But this one from R. De Silva. I have not heard this. I have not heard this take yet. We have a GM who doesn't want to lose his reputation nor go down in history as the guy who traded one of the cornerstones of the process for 20 cents on the dollar and then run the risk of watching him dominate the NBA in 4 or 5 years. At the end of the day, this is all about preserving the reputation for Morey. Spreading a narrative that Lillard is a guarantee is a flawed distraction, both analytically and logically. This guy came to the Sixers for Ben and Embiid. This has gone bad.
I think that's stupid. I think no one is saying that Lillard is a guarantee. Who is saying that?
Yeah.
What would be a guarantee is if they trade Ben for like, I won't even say a player, someone who is a role player or a couple role players, and then the Sixers have fewer assets to go get a championship level player. And then they just will be they will top out as a 4 seed or something. So that, like, I don't think Daryl is in the real. I'm sure people, his detractors or other GMs that don't like him, maybe would say he's like preserving his reputation or whatever. But I think he just really wants to win a championship very badly. And he was good. They were good for a long time in Houston, and they never, because of Chris Paul's hamstring, they didn't get to ever break through.
Yeah,
and they have a chance to do it here because of young players still in or entering their prime. And he doesn't want to fuck it up and trade him for whoever. And in, you know, similar to the Colangelo thing, because when you're in it, it feels like it's taking forever. When the right trade comes along, if it comes along, no one's going to think about the, aside from all the chaos that's happening now, no one's going to think about the, like, oh, it took 4 months instead of, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
Or like, they hired a coach, like, you know, the hiring Brett Brown in August type of thing. Like, it's all fine.
Yeah. As soon as it happens, it will be like it was like this as soon as it happens.
He's going to be judged for the trade, not for how long it's taking him to make the trade.
So 538, their Raptor prediction model, which is a model that bases the team's success on their Raptor predictive model for each individual player, has always liked the Sixers over the last 3 or 4 years. It really liked the Horford Sixers. It liked the Sixers last year. It likes the Sixers before the season, but it also likes the Sixers before the playoffs. So they did their predictive model. It has the Sixers as the second best team in the East, 18% chance to make the finals, 9% chance to win the title. They factored in Simmons for 50% of the team's minutes. They didn't know how to do it. They have the Bucks as number one. They have the Nets as number four in the East behind the Hawks, just barely. Just an interesting thing. And the other interesting note I thought looking through this is they have the Lakers. The predictive model does not like the Lakers, mostly because it doesn't like Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony. But they have the Lakers as the predictive ninth seed with a 4% chance to make the finals and a 2% chance to win the title. It is funny how...
And the Timberwolves over the Warriors, I'm seeing.
Yes. By a significant margin, you know, or by a few wins. I've never liked this. I think it's interesting to read and interesting to read the reasons why. I do think the interesting split between the, I think a lot of the writing about the Lakers in a positive way about how stacked they are is from like almost like influenced writing. Like, I don't know how anybody can look at the Lakers and go, boy, that's a team that's set up to win a title. It just seems
I think people don't want to bet against LeBron. I think it's right. And Anthony Davis, who was injured for a lot of last year,
but just having Westbrook is like, it seems like it's a fucking disaster to me.
I definitely don't love what the Lakers look like this year, but the West isn't good right now. Mm-mm. It's just not. The East is, I would say, significantly better. You could make an argument that like the middle of the West is, but I think the East is better. I think with Jamal Murray and Kawhi injured, they're just not that good. Like the Jazz disappointed, obviously, in a similar way that the Sixers did. The Suns are very good, but how long is Chris Paul going to hold up? Nuggets without Jamal, I'm not a Michael Porter Jr. guy, obviously. The Mavericks, I believed in last year, but they laid an egg and didn't seem to get really better. Now I have a new coach that is probably going to be worse than their old coach. Blazers, also a new coach, haven't changed much. Pelicans, Zion is injured and chaos. Like, the Warriors, you're hoping for Clay. It's not a good conference right now. It is not. Yeah. And for a long time, it's been like, the East. But like, the East top to bottom is better. It's a better conference. I would say that the top two teams are in the league are from the East. And I would say like most of the other contenders, if you put the Celtics in the West, I think the Celtics could win the West.
Wow, what a take.
I do.
CJ, clip it.
I think Miami also. I think both of those teams could win the West, and they're not going to win the East.
With the Celtics being better than they were, the Hawks ascending. Now it might not be a level up in a progress way. The Heat got better. I do agree it is a very solid conference, and we saw that in the playoffs last year. Just sort of, and the Knicks improved. I don't know if their record will be better, but they certainly addressed in the way that they needed to the offensive issues they had. So
a little bit. I think Indiana will be better because they had a horrible coach last year that nobody liked. I don't want to say he's a horrible coach. They had injuries. I don't know if he's a horrible coach or just like he really did not. The players really didn't like playing for him, which obviously made it worse. So I think they could be around the 4-5 situation this year with a bounce back. I like the Bulls a lot more than most people. The Hornets could bounce. The Cavs a little bit. Like there's teams that it's going to be a fight. I think the East is, some teams will be bad and the Wizards will probably be bad. Hopefully the Wizards will be bad so they trade Beal to us. Mm-hmm. But outside of the Magic and Pistons and depending on how good Cade is, they might be better than expected. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully the Wizards. Then like, I think the East is like, there's only two, I think it's just the Magic. I think it's really just the Magic that will not be in the mix on a playoff spot. I think they will be fighting for a lot. And I think the West, it's like the Thunder is going to suck. The Rockets are going to suck. Mm-hmm. Spurs are going to suck. Kings will probably suck. Pelicans, I would say, are going to be mostly bad without Zion. I think they made poor decisions this offseason. Like it's weird.
Well, Zion misses a lot of fucking games.
Yeah.
And probably wants out. So
I hope the Kings get to the play-in. I really hope the Kings get to the play-in. I would be happy for the Kings fans.
It'd be great to see Ben in the play-in game, and showcase himself. So two emails I want to get to before we go. One infuriated me, and the other one was a good one from Germany with great questions. Write to RickySanchez@gmail.com. Our emails have been great. Remember to send in one basketball, one non-basketball. I also want to make a thank you to we got a lot of emails when I mentioned that my longtime cat and friend, Alabama, passed away earlier this week. I got a lot of nice emails. One from a gentleman who is always part of our Bark in the Park team, who is actually driving up from Virginia for that event. So thank you for all the nice emails. Not this one. This comes from JR. Hi, Spike and Mike. I've been a fan since close to the beginning. Been a Sixers fan since 76 and Dr. J coming on board. Non-basketball question and basketball questions are really Ricky observations. Spike, it's your podcast and you can do what you want with it. I'm only a listener, and I obviously have the choice not to listen. But nevertheless,
here we go.
Yeah. Nevertheless, I'm very it brings you into this one. Nevertheless, I'm very disappointed in how you've reacted the last few months. I believe you have bullied Mike when he's tried to be positive about the Ben situation and the team as a whole. Mike, I'm sorry, but I think you've allowed yourself to be bullied by Spike into keeping thoughts to yourself that you would usually admit about how you want Ben and the team to make up and for Ben to fix his game. But while it's always been amusing for both of you to hate the team for things they've done, and we all know they have done a lot of really hateful things, Spike, you have never actively done something to damage the team. Your hatred of Ben is yours to freely express, but to publicize a story about the players hating Ben, like you did a few weeks ago as regard to the players on the bench, it was actually 2 days ago, when Ben re-entered the building, damages us as a team if he comes back, and damages us as a team if we try to trade him. I think it means your hatred has gone too far and perhaps you need to reassess. I love the pod and I'd hate to stop listening, but to treat a two-time All-Star Defensive Player of the Year runner-up like a, I'm not even going to read this. He was so insulting to people with handicaps. But to treat Ben like a blank and then to put the team in a position where we cannot trade him for value because of your expose is hurting us all, fans and team alike.
I would read the last line because that's right.
Oh, my advice, almost certainly the advice you would give me, get a grip. First of all, to say that my offhanded reading of a listener email 45 minutes into one podcast is somehow more damaging to the Ben Simmons trade scenario than Woj, Shams, Kyle Newbeck, and Ramona Shelbourne writing exposés, Jake Fisher, on the situation is pretty funny. Second, the notion that I'm bullying Mike into thinking something. By the way, I fucking got bullied by Twitter for a fucking year about Ben Simmons. So much so that I was like, I'm not going to talk about this so much. Is crazy. Mike can think what he wants. I just hate how in 2021, if you don't like the news that you're reading, it's to blame the person giving it to you. And like, it happens.
That's always been the case, though. That's always been the case.
No, but it's worse now. How many? It's worse now.
No, people always call in. You could now people just have more of a way to express their feelings, but they've always felt it. People have always been yelling at your dad in the fucking car.
Well, but doesn't blame him for this guy blaming me for their inability to trade Ben or for the team not liking Ben is like crazy.
I think people would not to make this about your dad. I'm not trying to, but people definitely been blaming your dad for like giving Philadelphia a bad name and making it hard for players to want to come here and play here and stuff for a long time.
The idea that people blame the media for news they don't like has certainly been magnified over the last 2 years. And so much so, and this is like I believe a social media component in that like people are only fed the news that they like. So they are more averse to reading news that they don't like. I think the final question that we need is, have I bullied you into not liking Ben? Or are your thoughts about Ben Simmons in recent episodes and this situation yours and yours alone?
If there's any fucking bully on this podcast, it's me. Okay.
Thank God. Thank God.
I bully CJ into hiding himself from view.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, my mom just texted me, what are you wearing on the pod today? Dark glasses? Is there a problem? Yes. There's a lot of problems, but nothing about my eye or anything. It's fine. I'll text you after.
So this comes from Anton and Emil from Hamburg, Germany. Dear Spike and Mike, my brother and I have been fans of the NBA for a long time. As we are from Germany, we originally had no team, but we have friends in Philly, so we started rooting for the Sixers. We found your podcast and it's the best. Two highlights so far have been the much needed Brian Windhorst slander and calling Trae Young ugly. Plus, of course, the great bathroom content. So we have two questions. First, basketball.
You called Trae Young ugly.
No, I don't. Did I?
Yeah.
That's more of I mean, he is.
I'm not saying he's attractive, but I don't
think he's a
great player. I mean, yes, he's very good. And I wish we had more ugly players because they'd be better.
They're better.
Not worried about looking hot all the time. And thinking they're hot.
So basketball question, speaking of which, today there was a series of pictures of the Sixers boarding the team jet with Niang and Furk looking impressively handsome. Who of the two is better looking in your opinion?
Both handsome guys, really handsome guys.
I think Niang is better looking.
I think that's probably right. Yeah. Korkmaz has a little bit more of a goofiness to him.
Yeah.
But maybe that would change if I saw him in person. Cause like, it's hard to beat. I mean, fucking six, they're NBA athletes. Like they're, but Niang has a vibe of a chubbiness that obviously he doesn't have, but compared to other NBA players, there's a little bit of a pouch there. So there's drawbacks in both.
Do you like that Furk is just letting the hair grow? Because he's got his hair will grow out. Like, it won't grow long. It will grow like this.
Too good looking. You know? Both of them too good looking. Embiid, good looking, too many.
So his non-basketball, their non-basketball question, I actually didn't read. I just saw a bunch of bathroom references in it. So this will be my first time actually reading it. Imagine a workplace of like 30 people. So it's not anonymous, but not extremely personal. You're using the shared bathrooms every day, which are usually in good shape. You now have two options. Taking an extremely sloppy pee all over the toilet with a fair amount spilling on the floor. You do it every day at least one time. The bathroom...
I have to miss.
Yeah.
I have to miss so much and not try to clean it up.
The bathroom becomes an uncomfortable and smelly place for everyone.
Right.
Number two, you're taking a shit once every 2 weeks, which smears really badly over the toilet seat. The smell is horrible. And of course, everyone is complaining. There is a big argument every day about who did it and who has to clean it. You wouldn't be confessing to either at any time, but your disgusting toilet behavior could come out after a while. Which option are you choosing?
I think it's pretty clearly pee, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Smeared shit on the seat. My mom would be texting me all the time asking if something's wrong. If you pee, you're like, all right, asshole. They're just left the seat or something.
But, yeah. Pee just seems inconsiderate. The poop thing seems like there's something wrong with you.
I don't know why this feels like it's just such a German question. I don't know why that it feels right to me to say that, but it feels very, very German. I don't know why, but thank you for listening and thank you for enjoying our podcast.
Well, our next pod will be after the season opener on Wednesday night. We're back.
Oh no.
We're back.
Oh God.
We're back. And so looking forward to it. Will Ben Simmons play? I don't think so. But if he does, boy, we're going to have a lot to fucking talk about. We will. We'll talk to you Wednesday night. Before I say the last thing, I will mention that we are also leaving you with War on Drugs, another song from their album, I Don't Live Here Anymore, which comes out on October 29th. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah, you know. Blackface.
But I'm rising.